Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. I've been ready to preach this message ever since Wednesday night. I believe I went through it on Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night. And raring to get started with it this morning. Let me make a few statements. I've never heard any preacher in my life use the core of the message that I'm going to give you this morning. I've heard preachers say, well, let's don't bother with that. And this is an accumulation of, and I know you get tired of it. This is accumulation of 50 years in the Word of God. I never have been afraid to preach anything that was in the Bible. I have had many a preacher ask me for some of the subjects I preached on. They said, now we couldn't dare do that. In fact, some of the words in the Bible, you know, where the he that, you know, against the wall, you know. When I was in college, I still have that Bible. And I X'd it out so that I wouldn't come upon it accidentally and read it. Some hair-lip professor led me wrong. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And when I preached on those subjects, I never will forget, Miss Karen, what your dad said to me over 30 years ago, probably 35, 40 years ago. He said, Brother Bill, I've never heard a preacher in my life preach on that. And he said, I've always wondered what it meant. And he said, you explained it, and he said, I appreciate that. Let me say, when it comes to the Word of God, don't try to fight God. Every preacher today that uses any other book but this book is fighting God. Don't try to fight God. I heard the expression one time and it stuck. Let God be God. And the older I've become, the more I've seen men in my lifetime try to be God. I enjoyed this last meeting. I had very little to say during the meeting, after the meeting. I just sat right back and watched people. In fact, if I hadn't had to come up here, I sort of wish I'd have got Brother John to take the offering or make the... I just enjoy sitting and watching people. And I, you hear preachers say that we want to get out of the way so God can work. But don't try to fight God. Let God be God. Now, I'm going to use a verse of Scripture that you've heard many times, and it's found in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. According as He, God, hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. I've never worried, and I'm not worried at all about trying to be politically correct, neither am I trying to fit into this realm that we live in today. I want to be biblically correct. I wonder what churches are trying to do. Wonder what churches are trying to accomplish. What's their purpose in coming to the house of God? Bible says God Almighty saved us that we might be His workmen. That's what a lot of you did this week. Invite people, try to get lost people in. When that preacher called from Brazil last night and these missionaries call around the world, things is going on. We're trying to get the word of God out to all the world. I wonder what churches today, why do they have a church? A Baptist church had a little trouble. These church schools, I've never started a church school. I would not get involved with a church school. I don't know but one, two preachers out of the hundreds I know that if they could stop their church school, they'd get out of it. It's caused them more heartache and more trouble. And I've seen churches torn all to pieces, trying to appease. I'm going to give you a good example. And I want the churches in this state that had girls begin to come to the church school with these see-through blouses and parts of their breasts and nipples were showing. And the school principal wrote a note to the girls and everybody, to the mothers, please. And some of the mothers got mad and made the pastor fire the principal of school. That pastor, he wouldn't last long around me either. I wonder what kind of church, what are people trying to accomplish? The mission of the church, the Bible says, we know, go into all the world and spread the gospel. That we are trying to do and have been trying to do. And the Bible says a church is a pillar and ground of truth. It's not from television where you learn the word of God. You go to a church where the pastor believes the word of God, like we had here this last week and others we've had, you'll learn something. This past week, I noticed a lot of visitors. Evidently, I don't look around. But I heard people talk about, well, and I just don't know if I'm saved or not. And doubting your salvation, you see, if the devil can get you to doubt your salvation, the Bible says he is a roaring lion, goes around seeking whom he can devour. There are some folk he cannot devour, and that's the unsaved. Now, that's the saved people. He cannot devour them. The great preacher who baptized the Son of God, John the Baptist, became inactive and was thrown in prison for preaching the Word of God. And while he was in prison, he began to doubt whom 3.5 years earlier, 3 years earlier, he had said, "Behold the Lamb of God," pointing to Jesus. But now he's inactive. Now he's in prison for doing what he should have been doing, preaching. And he writes a note to the Son of God and says, "Art thou he who should come, or should we look for another?" In less than 3 years, the greatest of all preachers, the Bible says, there's none born of woman greater than John. So if John the Baptist doubted, and he did, we're going to have doubts. And you're going to have doubts. And the devil discourages you through doubts. He knows he cannot devour you as a child of God. Once you're in the family of God, you are there, sealed, secure. And that's the core of what I want to give you this morning. And this verse of Scripture I just read, before the foundation of the world. Verse 5, having predestinated us. You know what the word predestinate means? Now I know what these cloaks and these colleges and these men who want to make a man out of God and a God out of man, I remember the first professor that I have heard try to explain predestination. And he says, well, it's according to foreknowledge. And I'd never heard that word. Then I heard another doctor say, this verse chosen is by decree. I want to challenge you this morning. Why don't you just believe what God said? He had chosen you in Him before the foundation of the world. Having predestinated, future tense, us, verse 5, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Now underline His will. I'm going to deal with some things this morning. As soon as a man starts reading verses like I'm going to read today, they start calling you names. Start calling your names. These verses were put in the Word of God that you might be strong in the truth, that you might be built up spiritually strong in the faith. These verses are anchors of the soul. When you want to doubt sometime, you go back and look at verse 4 and verse 5. And I'm not going to get to all the verses I want to this morning, but I want you to jump over to verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that, with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. That's our soul and our body unto the praise of His glory. Now you jump in the mind of God from verse 4, from before the foundation of the world, to the completion in verse 13 and 14 of you, new body, new person, the earnest. People used to call, put down earnest money. How many of you have heard that term? Earnest money. Earnest money. That's down payment. That's goodwill money. Earnest money. God says the earnest that I put down was a sealing by the Holy Spirit. That's God's earnest. Now, I'm going to make some statements from the Word of God. And I want you to turn back to the book of John, chapter 17. I've never heard, nor have I ever read, of any man preaching a sermon. And if you have, I'd like for you to tell me after service on the things that I'm going to read from the Word of God. Let me make some statements. Now, don't be reading John 17. You just look up this way now. If you can stand it, look this way. Let me make this statement. I hope that you know that salvation is on God's initiative. Bible, Son of Man has come to seek and to save thee. God sent His Son not into the world to condemn it, might be saved. Now, I've heard men all my life say, well, it looks like there's going to be more people in hell than in heaven. Yes, you better believe it. And I've heard men say, well, if there's more in hell than heaven, then God's going to be defeated. Quit trying to make a man out of God. Let God be God. Bible says, Jesus said about salvation, broad is the way that leadeth where? To destruction. And many there be that go in. But he said, straight, narrow is the road, you know, that leads to heaven, and few there be. If there wasn't but one man saved in the last 2 years, God would still be God and the devil would still be defeated. The Bible says in Isaiah that Jesus shed his blood, a ransom for. Now, see, that's what you've been taught. Gave himself a ransom for it. Somebody quote it like it ought to be. Many. Many. Man is born dead as a doornail. I heard a Baptist preacher this morning on television. Very few men on television, they are Baptists anymore. I was rather surprised to even hear him come close to one of the verses I've already read. And he tried to explain it away. And that's what I'm talking about. Let God be God. What God is trying to say to you, you who, in my mind, before the world was ever formed, I had your salvation planned. And he said in the last verses I read you in Ephesians, that after you heard the word of truth, you believed. How many of you remember when you heard the word of God and you trusted the Lord as your Savior? Say amen or wave the hand. Are now you at that point? Doubting is the biggest tool Satan has to worry. Now, I said years ago that I was going to hire Miss Bessie to do all my worrying. And Miss Bessie said, no, Preacher Bill, I've got enough to worry about on my own. Now, there's some people who never worry. Seems as though, but I've known folk worry about raining too much. Worry about that tree falling on the house if it does rain. Worry about that limb up there. So don't ever worry about it if the wind starts blowing. If I had my way about it, I'd take every pine tree down off of my place. If I could get somebody to take the pines down and clear up the mess. But I'm not strong enough, nor will I live long enough to clean the mess up. Don't worry about things you have no control over. Now I want to get to the very heart and core of why you're saved. Bible says in chapter 17, how many of you have a red letter edition? It's in red. Now, if you know, now all of this scripture was breathed by God and the Spirit of God. It's God's word from front to back. But when you read the letters in red, those are the words Jesus spoke on this earth. The courts of our land will not take hearsay. And an eyewitness with the truth is the greatest of all witnesses. Here you have the Son of God making these statements. Chapter 17, verse 1, these words spake Jesus, and he lifted up his eyes to heaven. Now, look at here. I'd laid in this church one time. She's a good friend of mine then and now. But she got real mad because she was so embarrassed. She had been teaching the Lord's Prayer. The world does not know what the Lord's Prayer is. two old drunks one time got drunk, and they got to thinking about, you know, we might die as sick as we are. One of them said, let's pray. The other one said, I don't know how to pray. The other one said, all I know is the Lord's Prayer. And he said, I bet you $5 you don't even know the Lord's Prayer. He said, I sure do. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me. The other drunk gave him $5 and said, I didn't know you knew it. Now, you know why you're not laughing? Because some of you didn't know the 23rd Psalm, for my Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father, which art in heaven, is not the Lord's Prayer. If you want to know, when I mentioned this 25, 30 years ago, one of our ladies, good ladies, said, Preacher, you embarrassed me this morning when you said that John, our Father which art in heaven is not the Lord's Prayer. I said, it's not. She said, you have embarrassed me. I said, now wait a minute. I didn't do that intentionally to hurt you. But just because you don't know what the Lord's Prayer is, don't blame me. And after a few months, she came down off of a high horse and got a body, her anatomy, back where it ought to be, you know. You know what happens to people when the man of God gives them the Word of God? They start blaming the preacher. Well, who told him about me? Boy, when I used to go to church, and even since I've been saved, and I remember the night I got saved, it looked like that preacher was pointing that gun at me. Haven't you thought the same thing? When God's trying to deal with you, let the Spirit of God deal with you. Now, here is the Lord's Prayer. Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Have any of you folk ever heard a preacher ever read that verse of Scripture or even preach from it? I haven't. Now, I'm taking time. I want some things to soak in. I'm dealing with your eternal salvation. The Word of God is dealing with your eternal salvation. If you have believed the truth and trusted, as the Bible says, I want to try to shoot that limb of doubt out of your mind once and for all. The Bible says that he should give eternal life to as many as thou, God, hast given him to Jesus. Verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they may doubt thee. Is that what it says? That they may know thee, K-N-O-W. Know thee, the only true God. Now, suppose I got on national television and said and read that verse of Scripture, there's only one true God. Can you imagine? I'm going to get shed of this thing. I'm hot, and if I have to go back to, I used to take my coat off and take my tie off, and bless God, this tie appears bothered me as an old man, and I used to, when I was young, take it off. I wouldn't have a dry stitch of clothes on me. Anybody in 100-degree weather put on long sleeves or shirt and a tie and an undershirt and a coat and come to the house of God and half-dressed women say, I'm about to freeze to death in here. Well, put some clothes on like we men do. Amen, amen. They say when you get old, you go back to your youth. Well, that's what I used to do. You remember that, Miss Gunner? Huh? Miss Sanders, you remember that? Yeah. The Bible says, verse 3, this is life eternal, that they, you who have been saved, might know the only true God. Boy, if you got on television and said there's only one true God, you'd have religions coming at you from every direction. Now, wouldn't you? Come on, huh? You got politicians now trying to sanction people and religions, and their religions teach to get rid of us. Get rid of America. Get rid of the big Satan. Verse 4, I have glorified thee on earth, that's the Lord. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. If God's people would finish and do what God said for them to do, it's very simple. The Lord finished what his Father sent him to do. You know what God wants you to do after you're saved? Get baptized, get in a good Bible-believing Baptist church, grow in the Lord, start tithing, start being a witness, teaching Sunday school or whatever, being faithful to the house of God, and join hands with other believers to get out the Great Commission. But that's not the purpose of the average church member today. Holler amen right there. I can't walk down there, so I'll turn around. Amen, preacher, let it go. I will, give me time. Verse 5, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee, with God, before the world was. There are Baptist preachers today by the hundreds that don't even believe in the pre-existence of Jesus Christ. When I was ordained in 1952, and you've heard me say this many times, but there was a preacher, I remember his name. He's from Beach Island. He was a graduate of Louisville Seminary, the largest Southern Baptist school in the South, Louisville, Kentucky. And when they asked him, did he believe that Jesus was God? He stumbled. And I remember the Baptist preachers at the First Baptist Church on Green Street in Augusta, 1952, in August, when they were questioning the Presbytery, as they were called, was examining us. And brother, when they got to this Louisville graduate, he said, I don't believe Jesus is God. And when he said that, Dr. E.C. Sheridan at Curtis Baptist Church hit the floor, got up, and said, what do you mean? You know, Baptists today won't get upset about nothing. Holler amen right there. They're more concerned about pleasing than teaching people the truth of the Word of God. I'm glad I had some preachers who taught me to believe the Word of God. They finally went on and ordained that man after having a recess and coming back at 2 o'clock. And they never could convince him. He said, I know what I was taught in college. And you know what they did? They said, well, we're going to ordain you. Couldn't tell when he was saved. And number two, didn't believe that Jesus was with God the Father in the beginning and didn't believe that Jesus was God. And they ordained him because he promised to support the cooperative program of the Southern Baptist Convention. Money talks, folks. I was preaching this book before folk ever paid me. Nobody's ever paid me to preach the Word of God. No one. I'm not a hireling. Any man who won't preach and teach the Word of God, they can be hired. The Bible says in verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me. You see that term? Now don't let that bother you. You underline every time Jesus said, Father, those that thou gavest me. The Bible says salvation is of the Lord. God's the author and finisher of our salvation. Now you hang on now. Hang on. Fasten your pew belt, whatever. Bible says in verse 6, thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. At least they knew what the word of God was. You can't have responsive meetings and readings in Baptist and Methodist and Pentecostal because none of the Bible says the same thing. Holla, amen right there. So they don't know what the word of God is. Why do you go to church? Bible tells why some folk go to church. Paul said some folk go to church, they want the ears tickled, and they want the back scratched. And Isaiah said a lot of folk go around the house of God, and my prophets are like dumb dogs that won't bark. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for a dog that wouldn't bark, and I'd kill one that barked at nothing. So God expresses. Why you go to church? The Bible says in the last days, in the book of Timothy, they'll pile up preachers and teachers. They'll pile them up, one after another. Pile them up. Seminary professors, they'll pile them up. They'll stack one on top of the other. Teachers having itching ears. Verse 7, now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Verse 4:8, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. Stop right there. When the preacher gets up, as Jesus said, I have given them the words, Father, that you gave me, and they believed it, they received it. Now, every preacher worth his salt will give the same words to the congregation that Jesus Christ gave to his believers. Notice here, verse 8, the words which thou gavest me, they have received them. What does the Bible say about when you hear the gospel? John says, to as many as received him, Jesus, to them God gave the power to become what? The sons of God, even to them who believe on his name. Not a word of John 17 talks to a sinner. Follow me. And have known surely that I came out from thee, that I came from heaven, and they have believed that thou, God, that thou didst send me. Now what does the Bible say in Hebrews? The Bible says in Hebrews that a man must believe that God is. If a man doesn't believe in God, God hadn't got a thing for him. And God says, if a man believes that God is, and God says, I am a rewarder of them who diligently seek me. Now, wait a minute. That's not talking about salvation, but who seek the things of God. Let me ask you this. Is there a person in this building that sat down at one point in your life, your life, your life. I'm talking like a redneck, your life. Is there a person anywhere in your life sat down and wrote out when and where you were going to get saved? Raise your hand. I'd like to know about it. I never met one. Follow me. Bible says, verse 9, I pray for them. Who's he praying for? Jesus said, I pray for them who've received the words, Father, that you gave me and I gave them. Here's your salvation right here. That's the moment you trusted God. That's when you believed. All right, pick it up, verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Now we are told in Romans to pray for those in authority above us. But when you pray, you're wasting your time praying for the world. Jesus said, I pray not for the world. I wonder how much time people waste. Said, oh God, pray for the peace, pray for the belief, pray for the world, pray. You better pick out someone you know and pray for that individual to get saved. The Peace Corps and all the intentions of man and the intentions of men thousands of years have tried to do what God said he couldn't do. And that's bring about peace on earth. There's going to be only one time when peace will surround this earth. And that'll be when the Prince of Peace comes. The Lord, in Revelation 19, sets up a kingdom and rules the earth with a rod of iron. Look at this. Verse 9, I pray for them. That's those in verse 8. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. There's that word. Father, those that thou gave me. Have you figured out by now who those whom God has given to Jesus? You got any idea who they are? You got any idea by now who we are? We're believers. God's the author of your salvation, honey. I was born dead as a doornail. Now let me just say right here about something else. I had a man one time that knew better than to do this. But he was young, wet behind the ears. And when I was a young preacher and I didn't understand something, and I couldn't put it together. You see, the Bible says, rightly divide the word of truth. John 17 says, thy word is true, the word of God. You hear men saying today, well, I remember when I sought the Lord and I found the God. And well, I got news for you. God ain't never been lost. I mean, come on. You know, I've said that too. But I had a man stand in this pulpit one time, and seven times he said, I got saved of my own free will. All over North Carolina, you got what you call free will Baptist. There's no such thing as a free will Baptist. There's no such thing as a free will. Oh, we have a will. But when the Bible, hey, do you know what total depravity is? I preached on it, Brother John preached on it, Brother Barron. Do you have any idea what total depravity is? Romans 3 and Romans 6, Romans 5 talks about man is born dead. John 3 says man is already condemned. The Bible says from the top of man's head to the bottom of his feet, he's dead in trespasses and sin. Well, if a man is dead, and he is, then his will's depraved too. Are you still with me? I got you too deep now. All you're doing is saying, Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray, and there's none that seeketh after God. And Baptist preachers get up and say, well, you have a choice. Would you please show me that in the Bible? God's already made that choice and gave everyone to Jesus Christ. Now, since you, in the mind of God, have been saved and given to Jesus Christ, why are you doubting your salvation? If there's a point in time when you trusted and you believe and you receive the truth, then why don't you anchor your soul in the Lord's Prayer? Follow me. Verse 10, all and all mine are thine. That's to say, that's redeemed. That's all that the Father gave the Lord. Verse 11, and now I am no more in the world, but these, that's us, believers, are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep them through thine own name, those whom thou, read the next four words, thou, out loud, thou hast given, that they may be one, as we are. Well, you have all the religions today trying to, we all want all the religions to come together. God has never had that in mind. The only oneness in the Word of God is our oneness in Jesus Christ. They may be one as we are. Verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name, those that thou, read the next two words, gavest me. I have what? What's the next word? Say it again. I've kept them, and none of them is lost. None of them is lost. Any church today that teaches a man can be born again and lost is not of God. Did you read what Jesus just said? None of them are lost. But wait a minute. One, the son of perdition. That's Judas. But I've heard Baptist preachers argue with the fact that Judas could have been saved. And I've heard them argue that if Judas had gotten saved, Jesus would not have had to go to the cross. Good night. How many has Jesus lost? None. What are you worried about losing your salvation? I can tell you what you're worried about. You're worried about you not doing what God told you to do. See, God told you to be baptized. And God said, will a man rob God? And the devil comes up and says, hey, you're not a tither, and you rob God, and you can't be saved. Well, God didn't tell you that. You never will have assurance of your salvation like God wants you to have until you become an obedient child of God. But the devil will come up and say, hey, you're not saved. I'm telling you how what to believe and how to get rid of some doubts. Bible says, verse 13, and now come I to thee. Verse 14, he repeats himself, I have given them thy word. and the world, thy word and the world hath hated them. This world hates the word of God. Did you hear what the Bible just said? Why do you think the great apostasy, the last sign in the book of Timothy, that God said before the end of time, the great apostasy, that's men tampering with the word of God. And preachers standing in pulpits by the tens of thousands this morning, and they don't believe that God wrote one Bible. The sign in the last 20 years has been tampering with the Word of God. The Lord said, verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. I have news for you. The world not only hates what I'm preaching and what I'm giving you, but religion hates it too. Verse 16, they are not, speaking of you, speaking of the saved, they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Verse 7, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true. And there are preachers today preaching that it doesn't matter. You can get saved from any Bible. Would you show me chapter and verse for that? And I can blow you out of the saddle so fast. God Almighty has only promised to bless His Word, not a perversion of the Word of God. And we are born of the Word of God. And preachers by the tens of thousands are arguing over the Word of God. I think something wrong with their salvation. They're not in this group that the Lord talks about right here. Well, verse 20, neither pray I for these alone. He was praying for those whom the Father had given him. Now here's where we come in. But for them also which shall. What tense is shall? Is it past? Come on, talk back to me. It's future. I pray not for these alone, but for them, that's us, also, which shall believe on me through their word. That's testimony of Jesus. Our words is testimony of Jesus. In Revelation 3, what the world hates is the spirit of prophecy. In Revelation, the spirit of prophecy is that a saved person knows where he came from, what he is, and where he's going when he dies. And this world hates the fact that you get up and say you know where you're going. Now I'm going to drop my anchor. I know exactly what time it is. And I've exerted enough this morning that I'll probably be done for the rest of the day. Verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me. I want you to turn to the first chapter in John. Turn to the first chapter. I want to answer this question with two verses of Scripture, and then I'm going to let you go home. Oh, me. Verse 12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. If you're a child of God today, why are you doubting your salvation? God told you that He had you in mind. He chose you. Why don't you believe God instead of trying to fight God and argue with God? Even to them that believe on His name, verse 13, here blows the will of man to pieces. Your will, when you're born, is totally depraved, which were born not of blood. You don't inherit salvation, nor of the will of the flesh. None of you ever wills yourself saved. The Bible says, nor the will of man. Men come along today and say, fee, fi, fo, fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman. Put a wafer in your mouth and give you juice and say it turns into flesh and blood, and they do it by the millions. And that's how the church at Rome teaches when you receive Christ is when you receive communion. And he says, now, your sons. God said it's not of the will of man. It's not of the will of the flesh. You don't will it. But the last three words of verse 13 says, but of God. It's God who called you. It's God who sent the word of God to you. It's God who sent the Spirit of God to quicken you. Amen, amen, amen. And since it's been done in the mind of God from all eternity, quit doubting what you believe and anchor your soul in what the Lord says. Now, the last verse is Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. He said, not only for you who have believed on me, but those who shall believe on me. Hebrews chapter 12. Now, don't start hunting the verse. I want you to hear everything that I say. Jesus did not die on a cross hoping, as most every teacher and preacher in the last 50 years has taught. Jesus didn't die hoping that people would be saved. You ever heard the song? Sure you have. I can't remember the words of it, but it goes something like this. When Jesus died on the cross, he had me on his what? That's scriptural. That's scriptural. When you and I got saved, the angels didn't have to go up to Jesus and say, hey, guess who got saved? And the Lord says, who? Bill Reese. And the Lord said, I don't believe it. I'm going to go to the Father. Father, guess who just got saved? Glenn Gentry just got saved. God says, that's impossible. Glenn and I was talking this week about the day he got saved. God said, I chose him. The believers. And I gave all of them to my son. And Jesus said, all that the Father gives me is going to come to me. Well, I've got to quote this verse. I done lied again. I said I had two verses. But I got one verse, and I'm going to quote it to you. Back in John 7:36, when it says, all that the Father giveth me shall what? Come to me. Now, you hear the last part of this verse quoted all the time. Him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. Him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise. No, that ain't. Uh-uh. That's not what it says. It's not what it says. But I'm going to read Hebrews 12 now. I'm going to continue this. Now, see, some of you folk today, if you miss next Sunday, you're going to miss half. Chapter 12, when Jesus was on the cross, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that's the believers, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand on the throne of God. Who do you think Jesus saw on the cross? He saw not only the believers that God had given him, but thanks be to God, he saw every believer chosen by God who would believe on the Lord. Now, don't go out of here and call me names I've given you something to try to anchor your soul. God plans your salvation. Don't go out and try to say, well, God is unjust and God does this. God can do what he wants to. But I'm here to tell you that God didn't have to save any of us. Did you hear that? God didn't have to save any of us. And you ought to be more grateful that God saved you. You can't explain why you were saved and a lot of your schoolmates are on the road to hell. That's God's doing. You can't explain why people that I've talked to. Now, I'm to be a witness to every creature. I'm to be a witness. I'm to give him the gospel. That's our responsibility. Why don't you take care of the responsibility God gave you instead of quit trying to figure out the mind of God? There are people that I have dealt with, given the gospel to, and I prayed for. I've been at the bed. I was there before they died. I was there 3 years before they died. I was there 10 years before they died. And they died and went to hell. And I whipped myself. I whipped myself. I've heard preachers say all my life, you have too. I don't want to cause anybody to go to hell. Hey, man goes to hell because of Adam, not because of me and you. Huh? As in Adam, we all die. And the one day, God Almighty said, you know what I just said? I talked to people, couldn't get them saved. You have too. And they died. And I wanted to whip myself. Now, if I hadn't have been a witness to them, you know, I'd have reason to whip myself. Until God says, you're worrying about something, Bill. That's none of your business. Maybe in the mind of God, this is the only answer. They were never elected. You know why I've never run for any office? Because I'm elected. I'm elected, and so are you if you were saved. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. You quit doubting your salvation. If you've received the Lord and you've been saved and you've believed on the Lord, you tell the devil to get on back to hell where he belongs. You anchor your soul in what Jesus said. Amen, amen. And what God does with who's saved and who's lost is none of our business. Our responsibility is to get the gospel to every creature. And I have not done that. Don't look at me like a calf looking at a new barn door. I doubt that a lot of any of you have done it either, huh? Well, I hope I've given you something that you can anchor. These verses are not given to make us lazy. People go out and call me all kind of names. This was in the Word of God 1,600 years before a man in Europe ever came on the scene. Don't call me something that I'm not. I'm a born-again Baptist believing in the Word of God. Presbyterians think they found something new. This was in the Word of God 1,600 years before they ever came on the scene. And that's the reason the world has hated Baptists all these years. Well, I've been going for 55 minutes. Boy, that's good. Thank you, Miss Jan. Bye.